I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Although that was kind of a Bush League move by us. We could have gotten... I'm glad we listened to it because I like to hear what Chris is going to say. But we could have faked it.
Yeah, we could have faked it.
Jorge got us in just under the gun, and then we threw him under the bus and said, play it again.
Well, no, I'm not blaming Jorge or anything like that. I just think I want to hear what Christopher Morales has to say. And we are going to do that bit today. The what's the weirdest thing that turns you on? And we've got a bunch of examples of it for you. You said 80s hair, which is that hair where... The it stands up in front. Is that 80s hair?
Well, big, no, tall, 80s hair, 80s hair, front? Like in the case of girls, it's big hair.
Big hair, yeah.
Lindsay, did you have big hair in the 80s? You were pretty little in the
80s. I was born in the 80s, so yeah. I only had like 3 years to have big hair. Yeah, and I don't think I had enough hair to be big like, hair think, at that point.
Yeah, think St. Elmo's Fire, Mace. Think Weird Science.
Oh, sure. Demi Moore, St. Elmo's Fire.
Breakfast Club, you know, that type of thing.
That's what we're looking at. That's right. Well, we'll do that coming up for you. I have a little bit of a dilemma I wanted to bounce off you guys get started here. Okay.
I'm excellent at solving dilemmas, whatever they may be.
So a friend of mine, and I would call him a medium friend.
Okay.
So you know what I mean? He's not like a close friend.
Yeah, you're not going on vacation with him.
But he's somebody I text with on a pretty regular basis.
Got it.
So I saw him. We hit balls at the driving range. And, of course, he also has advice for me on all the things I should be doing to fix my golf swing. But he said something that was, and I don't want to repeat it, but it was pushing the line of racist.
Okay.
Now, my decision after this has been to ghost him.
Okay.
It is, I have, there are three text messages that I haven't responded to. There's a phone call, which I never check my voicemail, but there was a voicemail from him too. Just sort of checking in, just seeing what was going on.
Yeah, hey, he senses that something may be up.
Something may be up. And the question is, do I confront him about what happened, or is it possible for me to just ignore it and pretend it never did, eliminating this guy from my life?
B. Choice B.
You're saying ghosting is okay?
Heck yeah. By the way, here's a general rule. If I think somebody is a good friend.
Yes.
Or if, like in this case, a medium friend, as you call it.
Medium friend.
And I reach out to him three times.
Yeah.
And I don't hear back. Something's up. Friendship's over. That's when you cut bait.
But at no point should I go back and say, hey, it's because you said this.
Well, do you care if this guy's out of your life?
No, he's gone. I just lopped it off like an arm.
Then why even bring it up?
Yeah.
You should bring it up to create some awareness. Like, hey, that's not cool to say things
like that.
It's not
your job. Not Mason's job to create awareness.
Yeah, but sure, it's not his job, but that would be like the noble thing to do would be like, hey, it's not cool to say stuff like this, and I just want to let you know if you have this mindset, you might lose some friends.
But, Mace, this is a tentacle.
Yes.
Of the Barstool conversation we were having the other day.
Oh, okay.
My sense is, like, Barstool is talking to Major League Baseball about doing a deal. Mason thinks Barstool is racist and sexist, and they're all pigs.
Lots of racist and
there's a lot of evidence to back
sexist,
that up.
Sexist, misogynistic content, yes.
But, so here's what this kind of is. Whatever this guy said, I assume it was in that neighborhood.
It was in that neighborhood, yeah. It's something that I would never say, and it
so
bothered
me. So once you find out he's one of those people, so to speak, you have no interest in keeping him around.
Correct.
I tend to try and have friends of all ilks. Like, just because Barstool is sexist, my sense is that because Barstool is sexist and sometimes racist and very chauvinist, my sense is you have no tolerance for Barstool or anybody who partakes in Barstool,
No, not really. I'm not judging the people that listen. All I'm saying is baseball should not put the seal of approval on Barstool
right,
Sports.
But it sounds
and I'm
like,
not saying everybody at Barstool is a racist or right. is a misogynist. I'm just saying there has been, and there's a track record, a long track record, of racist and misogynistic comments that have come from that particular platform.
But I have friends who I know listen to Barstool.
Sure.
I don't cut them out just because of that. I think that this guy may have, is it possible that whatever this guy said, and it would help if you can elaborate on what he said, I know you don't want to say it exactly, but what it was, you know, roughly about, is it possible he just has a cultural blind spot about
well,
whatever
tell
this
you,
particular
okay,
issue
okay, here's what I'll say. He made a judgment based on the fact that I have a black golf coach.
Okay.
That gives you an idea of where he was going.
Okay, got it. So this guy probably does not have a lot of black people in his life.
That's what I'm guessing.
So it could be that he just needs to be awakened, but that's not your job.
No.
By the way, you know what's so funny about that? So I've got a friend of mine. His name is Aubrey Shaw. He's a, one of the pros at Mountain Gate. But I met Aubrey when he was a pro at the Lakes in El Segundo.
Okay.
And he's coaching Worthy, and Worthy's playing like out of his mind really well. So now everybody is trying to get in to see Aubrey. And Aubrey is a black golf coach in this case. So, I mean, it's like that's, sometimes you don't know what you're missing.
Right. Yeah,
so
I mean,
maybe
that's,
that guy, maybe that's this guy's problem.
And I should say, Derek Allen at Rancho Park and at Penmar, a fantastic golf coach. And what little swing I have is completely a
tribute
to him.
I think your swing actually looks pretty good.
Yeah,
but,
yeah,
you know,
it's completely
this is interesting because sometimes you just have to, with people that don't have any cultural experience, they don't have any black friends. Like, you go to a black church.
Yes.
I work for basically an African-American entity in the Lakers. 90%
right.
of our team is black. So we have the benefit, I'll even call it a privilege, of
living in the midst of cultural diversity.
Correct. And having a lot of friends that, you know, come from different backgrounds than we do.
Yes.
It sounds like this guy, your medium friend, doesn't have that.
Yes.
What I would have preferred you had done is call him on it when he said it.
Yeah, I know.
Now,
I know.
And by the way, there's a way to do that.
How?
Like, if he makes some, like, you know, like, you know, really? You got a brother for a golf coach? What?
Right.
You know,
that, and that's basically what he said.
And, unless he said the N-word or something.
Yeah, but, no. It was softery. It was wrong, but it was not the N-word.
And you know what Michael would say if Michael was around?
What?
He goes, yeah, you know what they're going to call me? Black Nicholas.
Right, right.
You know, there's a way to diffuse the thing where you could have pointed out that if he's one of those people. I'll give you a good example of this.
Okay.
I was sitting next to Jim Hill at a basketball game once.
Right.
And years ago, it was like 20 years ago, we're at like press row. And some guy walks up to Jim. We were watching the Henry Bibby coached USC Trojans play UCLA.
Sure.
And some guy walked up to Jim, and Jim is very friendly. You know that. Like, he just...
Oh, he's a great dude. All around
for lack
dude.
Of a better word, uber approachable.
Oh, I thought that was Chris Taylor hitting the ball out of the yard for a lead. It's Dodgers have a runner on first. It's the top of the ninth.
They're down their last out, though.
Yeah, down to their
last out. I mean, they had a good series here.
Yeah, yeah.
And by the way, Bellinger, after we, you know, beat him up yesterday, had a monster game last night where he hit two home runs.
Yes.
We'll get into that in a second. But so to get back to this Jim Hill story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm sitting next to Jim. This guy, this black guy, walks up to Jim. And for people who don't know, Jim's black. And says to Jim, now that's what I'm talking about. A black coach with five black players. And Jim immediately turned and looked at the guy and goes, what difference does that make? And the guy was taken aback. Like,
sure.
And Jim goes, you wouldn't say that if it was a white coach with five white guys, would you? And the guy was just stopped in his tracks.
Yeah, yeah.
So and, Jim, in other words, and the last thing Jim said to him was, he goes, look, man, I don't play that.
Saying it in the moment.
Right. And you can
is
say
what
it
I
in,
really
a,
needed
in
to
a
do.
Diffusing way. Like if he says a derogatory term and about your coach, and you say, that's right, he's going to make me the next Tiger Woods. It's great.
Right.
You know, I think that maybe the guy would have got the hint. But if you don't care about him anyway, I always tell you, I have too many friends. If you're not already in my phone, I'm not taking any applications. So if you're getting one guy out.
Are you really? You're not taking any new friends? The job is filled.
No, why do I mean? I don't even see the ones I like. And I talked to
What about the interesting ones? What about somebody interesting comes along? You're not going to put them in your phone?
Yeah, I got enough interesting. I'm friends with you. What do I need more interesting
That's
for?
True. There really is no limit to the interestingness that comes out of this relationship.
So if I were you, I wouldn't lose any sleep over this guy being out.
Yep.
He was lucky to be in.
Medium friend, goodbye.
I think that ignoring racism is kind of like condoning racism.
No,
so I think you probably should say something. Really?
But, yeah, because.
You don't think ignoring racism is condoning it? Because you're kind of saying like, okay, I'm not going to say anything.
Mason,
There's no need to say anything.
Couldn't I argue that Mason did not ignore it? As a matter of fact, he cut the guy out of his life. He took a pretty drastic action, in my opinion.
Well, I think the right thing to do would be to call him out on it.
Right, but, I mean,
if you're really that concerned about, you know, trying to end racism in 2021 and, you know, moving forward, not to get too into it, I think the right thing would be to be like, that's not cool to say that.
Yeah, you certainly could say that, but then you make a very awkward situation for both of you.
Right.
Well, good.
Right.
It should be awkward because
just to be clear,
to begin with.
I think this guy said something that included racial bias. I wouldn't say he's a racist.
Right. Which is part of the world we're living in.
Right. Right. Anyways, Ghostin, sorry, medium friend.
Man, Bellinger.
You're done.
Bellinger's up and there's two outs, two on. And just
hit one a mile.
Yeah. If he were to, like, last night, Bellinger, to me, turned a corner. He had what I thought was the best at-bat of the Dodgers season.
Yes, he did.
Did you see that 13-pitch at-bat?
Yeah, the 13-pitch at-bat ended with a home run,
so
seven foul balls.
It went 3-2.
Yep.
And, boy, he just missed that.
Yeah, it was so close.
But if he were to, he's got four home runs in his last four games. If he would have hit a home run on that pitch to put the Angels up the Dodgers up 3-2, that could reverse his whole season.
Right. I'm trying to remember if he has a hit today. Is his
no? He's 0-3
on the line.
Okay. He's 0-3, and he's batting .180. But in Philadelphia, he has been great. And these at bats where he gets up there and fouls off these pitches. This at bat last night, he had a 13-pitch at bat.
Yep.
This at bat is 14 pitches already. 14 pitches. I mean, he just fouls off anything he doesn't like and waits for his pitch. He's found something. When you start going 13, 14 pitches into a count, like even if he strikes out.
Well, that's not quite true, John. That's 14 pitches for the pitcher this inning.
Oh, okay, so it's for the pitcher this inning. But,
he's battling. I mean, undeniably, he's battling. He's fouling balls off, all that stuff, and he runs to a 3-2 count.
But it tends to when you can start controlling what you see.
Yeah,
that means you're turning a corner. So
yeah,
and Betts, you know what? I don't know what's wrong with Betts. He's on the injured list, but like we talked about the other day, Vesse is talking about it like it could be season ending.
Yeah,
he hasn't said that. But if you read between the lines, he said was any other player would have hung it up for the year.
Yeah, they flew him back home, so he's seeing a specialist for the hip. But this is the third time now he's been on the injured list with that grinding.
He sounds like he either needs surgery or he needs to sit it for several months, which, of course, in August of a baseball season is not an option.
Cody Bellinger draws a bases-loaded walk, so it's first and second, two away. Dodgers trail 2-1, top nine in Philly.
They are, by the way, after this game, the Dodgers played their next few games are in New York. They're taking the train.
Yeah, I know. I like that.
Like old school baseball, like in the natural. Speaking of the natural, you know, the Field of Dreams game is tonight.
I know. I want to get into that coming up, Field of Dreams game. By the way, I wanted to mention, too, Dodgers at the Mets, it lines up really well for us. Buehler, Urias, and Scherzer are your three starters for that series at New York. And then they come home and face a really bad Pittsburgh team. So, again, I'm going to say it again. Every game, as the Giants continue winning, every game is a must-win for the Dodgers if they hope to catch the Giants in the National League West. All right, coming up next for you, Field of Dreams game. Lindsay was mocking me today. She was mocking me.
About what?
On our call. About exactly that, the Field of Dreams game. Coming up next, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
By the way, 877-710-ESPN, people want to react to my dilemma of my friend who said something that was definitely racial bias over at the driving range, and I just kind of ghosted the guy.
Yeah,
we'll get some of your calls in here. We'll let you know the Dodgers still first and second, two away. They lead the Phillies 2-1, and it's the top of the ninth.
Here's Gigi on line three. Hey, Gigi, you're on 710 ESPN.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. Gigi.
I'm just amazed. I would hope you would know who your audience is, who you serve in sports.
Right.
To make comments, Don, to say it's, quote, not his problem. No justice racially in this country has ever happened without the interference and the support of non-black people.
So that's fair. You know,
it is. Everybody's collective,
so,
quote, problem.
Gigi, how should he have handled it?
Well, let me get my other point across. And then
to say it's
an awkward situation for both of us. Do you know that every day black people have an awkward situation just walking into a restaurant, into a store, having eyeballs on the back of your head thinking like, oh, they think I'm going to steal something. And to inconvenience yourself to have a conversation and confront your friend.
And what, Gigi, if Mason doesn't like the guy already, because it doesn't sound like he really wants him around.
I have basically cut the guy out of my life.
I don't know if a conversation works, because I don't know. Mason can't say what
he said. Here's the thing. If he's giving you his time, then you have the ability to influence the person.
That's true.
Point blank. If you're giving somebody, if I'm spending my time with you right now on this phone call, I'm taking advantage of the fact that there's however many people listening and that you're listening. I'm taking the time to potentially use this platform to influence you. Your relationship with that person, to any degree, if he's giving you his time, you have the ability to influence him.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good call, Gigi.
Hey, Gigi, that's a really good call. It sounds like, in the moment. You know what's weird? Despite what I do, I am not a confrontational person. I genuinely try to avoid confrontation.
Well, Gigi, are you still there?
You are a confrontational person. In your role, you are courageous. You go in front of millions of people.
I was just going to say
that. Ask superstars all kinds of difficult questions. You ask men that are 2 feet taller than you that could squash you in an instant, putting them on a spot about, missing a big shot or not passing the ball or whatever. Yeah. So you have courageous.
Yeah, Gigi, you've actually kind of turned me around on something. I would have tried to diffuse it by bringing about what he said to light. Like, for example, if he said, man, you got a brother for a golf coach? That's a bad idea. I would say, no, it's not. It's a good idea. Look at Tiger Woods. Man, he's the greatest golfer of all time.
Yeah, but I probably should have put this guy. I probably should have confronted this guy in the moment, Gigi. I think your point is entirely fair.
Yeah, Gigi, as a matter of fact, because you called, if you talk about using your influence, because you called, I'm going to make sure I don't let that pitch go. I probably wouldn't have. Mason didn't, like he just said, he doesn't like confrontation, so he let the pitch go. But I'm going to make a point of not letting the pitch go. I will somehow confront the guy, whether it be with humor or asking him, what does that mean, or do whatever. So you should know that your call changed my opinion on something. So thank you for calling.
Thank you, Gigi.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. And by the way, based on that call, too, I'm going to now go ahead and confront this guy.
Yeah. I mean, you got to tell us what happens.
Yeah, I will.
Here's Mike in L.A. Hey, Mike, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, guys. Longtime listener. Hey, I just think that it's important that this conversation happens. awkward is good, especially in these type of situations with the world that we live in now. Awkward conversations, very good. If we don't confront the person that is causing racism, that person gets a pass and will continue.
All right, thanks, Mike.
All right,
for the phone call. It also depends on, like, what you said, Mace. Is he racially biased or is he racist?
Right. Well, yeah, this guy is not a racist. He said something that
was stereotypical. Yeah, but it doesn't really depend because, yeah, if you're going to say something like that, then you shouldn't be saying something like that. And if it's enough for you to think twice, I mean, you shouldn't be saying something like that. And like I said, I feel like ignoring it is condoning it. And you're saying, oh, that's okay that you said that.
Okay, let's call the guy on the air. Let's call him right now.
Well,
let's let her rip.
That would put him on the spot.
Yeah, that would definitely put him on the spot.
Here's Brandon. Brandon, it says here you're the diversity coordinator at the College of the Canyons. Do we have that right?
Yeah, I'm a diversity, equity, inclusion coordinator at College of the Canyons. So,
guys,
yeah.
Call him, Brandon.
Okay, so what do you think about
that? I just want to make a few quick points. I heard some of the people tell us. One, we all suffer from biases, and we all act on our biases at times, so that's just something. That's how, in order for us to correct them, we got to acknowledge that first. Two, John, you have a point. There are tools and ways we can use our communications to interrupt people's biases when we find ourselves in those moments. But listening to the previous caller, it's very hard when the moment actually happens. So, Mace, yes. I don't fault you for not saying anything. I think your actions to cut the guy out of your life afterwards, after the experience happened, speaks more to your character than about what you did in that moment. And then two, I don't really fault you for it if you use it as a learning moment, right? So if you use this opportunity to say, okay, look, I missed it that first time, but you know what? Going forward, I cut this guy out. Going forward, next time I find myself in that situation, maybe I say, hey, man, that's not right. Or, hey, man, it's 2021. You know, you should not, you know, that's not where we're at anymore. So just wanted to make those quick points because this work is hard. And I think for you guys, I think the previous caller who she said, you know, Johnny said, it's kind of like, you know, it's not our problem. You didn't say it's not our problem, but you said you stopped or something like that. She kind of got on you for it. And I don't, that's kind of like an overreach. She has points and it's valid, but this work is difficult. And for non-black people, when they find themselves in that moment, I can see how it could be kind of, you know, difficult to deal with. So that's why we got to do this work. And that's why we got to continue to have the conversations to leave those biases. So, yeah.
Hey, thank you,
Brandon. First of all, thank you for calling. And second of all, I don't mind that Gigi got on me. I think that's what the show's for.
Yeah, that's what we're here for.
I think that sometimes the reason Mason and I have been in the air for so long is we talk about our lives. We talk about everything. And we don't always get stuff right. I think our hearts are in the right place, but we don't always get stuff right. So it helps when like people like Gigi call and say, hey, you know, you can't let that pitch go. You got to jump on it.
Yeah. I, you know, and after this conversation, I would have handled that conversation differently. So I guess that makes
it a productive conversation. Hey, we had a teachable moment here.
A teachable moment for Mace.
There you go.
Look, he's learning.
Well, I think
he's
it's for learning. Everybody. It's not just you.
Yeah.
I mean, I think anybody listening kind of figured it out. By the way, the Dodgers lost.
Yeah.
Was it Billy McKinney who finally made the last out?
I think it was McKinney because Will Smith got hit by a pitch. And then I think Billy McKinney was
so they had the tying run 90 feet away, but they flew out.
Yep. So Dodgers take two out of three from Philly in that series. All right. So it's Field of Dreams night, which means that there's a cornfield in Iowa, which will be hosting the New York Yankees and the Chicago White Sox in tribute to the, for me, the greatest, and I know this is controversial, I'll be on an aisle, the greatest sports movie of all time, which is Field of Dreams.
Wait a minute. Greatest sports movie of all time?
Greatest sports movie of all time, and here's why. John,
better than Rocky? Better than Caddyshack?
So listen to me. So there's a, for me, baseball, because I grew up around the game a lot, there is almost a mystical quality about the game. That it is baseball as, I don't want to say religion, but baseball as faith. I mean, James Earl Jones sums it up better than I certainly could with this speech from Field of Dreams.
People will come, Ray. The one constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball. America has rolled by like an army of steamrollers. It's been erased like a blackboard, rebuilt and erased again.
Baseball
has marked the time. This field, this game, is a part of our past, Ray. It reminds us of all that once was good
Yes.
And it could be again. Oh. People will come, Ray. People will most definitely come.
There's James Earl Jones. And, of course, people did come. If you remember the end of the movie, there's that shot from way up high with all those cars pulling up to that cornfield and the players sort of emerging from the corn. One of the cool things they're going to do tonight is when they introduce the players,
yeah,
they're going to enter through the cornfield.
Well, the other thing is no fence.
Right, no fence.
So, I mean, if you hit a home run, you have to hit it into the cornfield. And it's interesting you think it's the best sports movie ever.
I do.
I got it. I understood it. But I think I like The Natural more than I like Field of Dreams.
Yeah,
I think I like Bad News Bears more than I like Field of Dreams. I don't even think it's the best baseball movie ever.
Yeah, no, it's the best baseball movie for me. And The Natural, by the way, has that same sort of mystical quality. I mean, Roy Hobbs hits it into the lights and all of a sudden there are fireworks and stuff. That's I think, going after the same thing. But for me, something as simple as, Dad, can we have a catch? And I just melted down when I saw this movie. I mean, I just bawled when I saw this movie. Because for me, that's what all baseball is. That's what baseball is about at its purest sense. It does mark time. It does mark the calendar for me. Opening day of baseball is so meaningful for me. It is so exciting that baseball comes back. October, so thrilling. And it all boils down to those couple of times that my dad would literally say, hey, son, let's have a catch.
I don't know. I don't think it works for – like, it didn't work for me because my dad was Irish and he wouldn't know – he didn't even know how to put on a mitt. But here, one of my friends today,
yep,
I played golf this morning, and one of my friends said this. He goes, what is baseball doing? And I said, what do you mean? He goes, they're trying to get younger, right? And I go, well, they'd like to. And he said, why would you do an event, do a game about a movie that was 40 years ago? Nobody my age cares about Field of Dreams.
None of the players that are playing right now care about Field of Dreams.
I said,
have
doesn't
they
it make
come
you want to
said that, Lindsay, or are you
yes,
just supposing
they have.
That?
They have. There's a lot of them. When Marley Rivera was interviewing people at the game, she said, there are tons of players on both teams that have never seen this movie.
And I said to Danny, my friend, I said, doesn't it make you want to go watch the movie? He goes, no.
I think the average person, it makes you want to go see the movie. It's
how old is
Yankees
this average person you're talking about?
70.
No, not 70. I'm in my 50s. That was a gigantic movie.
Right, but it's not a gigantic movie for anyone under the age of 40, which every player in baseball is. So I think I'm going to watch it cuz I think it'll be cool.
Yeah.
But it skews old, just like baseball. Skews old.
Oh, the idea of playing ball in a cornfield is a cool idea no matter what.
Yeah.
Movie or not.
I didn't bring it up. My friend brought it up, and he's younger. He's in his 30s.
Yeah. The what's wrong with baseball thing is such a – I think it's such a tired conversation. You know, 69 million people went to see baseball games last year. 69 people went to professional baseball games. Four million people went to see the Dodgers last year. Regardless of TV ratings, which are tanking for absolutely everything right now, regardless of TV ratings, baseball is unbelievably healthy. Given the gate, which is bigger than, I mean, granted, bigger stadiums, but
right,
more people see
bigger
baseball.
Bigger stadiums,
than,
more games.
Yeah, more games. I mean, more content, all that stuff. I just think sometimes the troubles or the problems with baseball get exaggerated. Does anybody agree with me that Field of Dreams is the best sports movie of all time? Or, and we'll let Lindsay vent. Lindsay thinks this is the stupidest thing she's ever heard. We will get Lindsay in here coming
Wait,
up
Wait, that's
next
not two. What I said. That's not what I said. Don't twist my words.
By the way,
okay, well, Lindsay will say whatever it is she wants to say. Coming up, how about that?
It's hard
whatever
to
that. John, we had the chippiest. I ended the prep call today. I was like, I can't do this today. Can't do this.
Yeah,
today.
And he's not going to say why. So we don't need to get into that because
no, it was just overly
poor
chippy.
Take on something.
It was overly chippy
because you said something that I thought was extremely rude and offensive, and you didn't
Wait, that's like
agree with me,
today.
And you called me an a-hole.
Yeah, I said if that's how you feel, then yes, that's what I think.
I've never wanted to be on a call as bad as that one.
Oh,
ever.
Yeah. No, it was a beaut. It was really a beaut.
By the way, do you really don't get that baseball is skews old.
No, no, I do agree it skews old, but it also skews Latino. It also, I mean, it's the baseball fans.
What does that have to do with Field of Dreams, though?
Go to dot. Well, does it skew old? I think there's certainly an older fan base for baseball, but I don't think that's a problem. I don't think that's wrong. I don't think baseball is going to die. I don't think it's on the ledge ready to jump. I mean, I think baseball is healthy as an American sport.
I don't even know if they would agree with you.
Oh, come on. Of course they would.
The average
of course
age,
they would.
Well, let's get into this next. Do we need a break or do you want to
keep
going?
Yeah, no, we'll get a break and then we'll come back. We're also going to do Wheel of Questions. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
All right, just got a very interesting text message. This is from somebody whose name I will not say. Just heard you talking about me on your show.
Oh.
Thanks for not saying my name. I know the exact conversation you're talking about, and I get how it was offensive. Caller Gigi made me think about this. Sorry, we won't be friends anymore.
Wow. How about that?
Yep.
Boy, that's good work by Gigi. She turned him around, turned me around, turned you around.
Turned me around, exactly. Exactly.
Maybe we should give Gigi a show.
Gigi should have her own show. Absolutely
right. Good work, Gigi. Okay, so we're talking about this Field of Dreams game tonight, which I am going to watch, and Mace, you're going to watch.
I'm going to watch, absolutely.
My friend, who's younger, who's closer in age, Lindsay, to you, says this is a stupid idea because no one under the age of 40 cares about stupid Field of Dreams. And part of the thing here, Mace, is that baseball is fighting against every – this is a little inside, but what every business wants, not just sports, but what every business wants are people between the age of 25 and 54.
Right.
That's the target audience because that's when most people, men and women, forge their buying habits. Like, let's say if you're selling detergent.
Sure, yeah.
Somewhere in that window, you will decide what detergent you're going to buy. And so that's what they all buy, and that's what you want. You want a sport. Like, for example, the sport now that's getting the younger audience
is esports.
Well, even more than esports.
NBA.
Is soccer.
Oh, soccer, yeah.
The average age of a soccer fan is 30.
Yeah, but I've been hearing that forever.
Okay. What do you think the average age of a baseball fan is?
Probably 45.
50.
It's 57.
Okay, but here.
Up from 52 in 2006.
You can twist numbers and tell them any which way. I've got a survey from Statista. A survey of 2,200 American men 18 years and older. Of 18 to 34-year-olds, 14% say baseball is their first sport. Of 35 to 44-year-olds, 20% say baseball is their first sport. Of 45 to 64-year-olds, 19% say baseball is their sport. There is a core audience for baseball, and it's not all old people. Yes, it skews old, but there are younger people coming into the game, especially people of color.
I think my point is, and Lindsay, I'm curious what you think about this, is if you're sitting around in baseball in meetings in the MLB offices, and you're talking about marketing and things you're going to do in 2021. And somebody says, I got it. Let's do a Field of Dreams game where we'll send two teams to the actual Field of Dreams in Iowa and we'll televise it and make a big deal out of it. If you don't have anybody young in that room, nobody's going to say what I think is the case, and that is nobody under the age of 40 cares about Field of Dreams. So you can do it. And it can be really cool. And Mace, you and I are going to watch it. But Lindsay, are you going to watch it?
No. And not only that, my question is, first of all, what significance does this year have about it? Because the movie came out in 1989, so it's not like it's some special 30th anniversary.
Yeah, that's
or
weird.
Something.
It was supposed to happen last year, and it got
delayed
because of the pandemic.
It still wouldn't have been an anniversary because it came out in 1989.
Well, everything doesn't have to be on this day in.
Sure, it doesn't. As you know, yes, it does not. But I'm just saying, like, what's the significance of having it now? Like, why didn't they do this? You know what I mean? I just feel like it's a weird, random. It's random. That's what it is. It's very random.
Would we be talking about a random Yankees-White Sox game in mid-August if it weren't for the Field of Dreams game?
And by the way,
because it's your favorite movie.
No, but it's nationally televised. Nationally televised Yankees White Sox game. Really good matchup. We're talking about it. We never would be otherwise.
Correct. And that's why you do it. Because even if some people don't like it, nobody was going to talk about it if you don't do something. There are situations where you got to try stuff. And
but what's
knows?
Like the what's like the outcome? Like what I guess what are they trying to get out of it? Just people talking about it? Because I feel like more people are talking about the fact that it's stupid than they're actually talking about it. So I guess
no, it's
if you
gonna
subscribe
look cool.
to the whole...
By the way...
Sure, I'm sure. I'm not disagreeing with that. I think it'll look cool, and I'm not, like, bashing it. I don't think it's the worst idea ever. I just feel like it's a very random, odd thing to do and, like, something weird to spend a lot of money on. Like, if you're trying to get younger, you'd think... Because they had to do, like, put in infrastructure there. It was just an empty cornfield with
cornfield,
a baseball.
Yep.
They had to put stands there and get concessions and vendors and like
well,
they had
you
to
know,
put some
open,
money into this.
It's open year round as a tourist attraction.
Sure, baseball. Just but anybody can like pull up and get out of their car and like go there. It's not something where like it has all of these things that they're putting into it. So I'm saying like they had to put some money into this.
I will say this, you guys. Yep. A friend of mine is there.
Yeah,
I didn't know he was
he
there.
Went
I called.
To it?
I called him today. I said no. He works with Kevin Costner, who's back there.
Okay. Yeah.
For this. And he was.
I know who your friend is.
I won't say it. Yeah, I don't think you do. But he is effusive about how well done this is.
Yeah.
He says that Major League Baseball is going to put on a show that you're not going to want to miss. He said he can't believe how well this is going and what they've done and what they've put on there.
And they took an average Yankees, White Sox, middle of August. Great game, great matchup, but one that people wouldn't necessarily – and got it on national television. It's on Big Fox tonight.
Right. Well, they put it – they made Fox, like, make it part of their deal.
Right, right.
And Fox would, because in the middle of August, there are very few first-run shows anyway. Most things are repeats or game shows, so Fox was probably happy to do it.
Yeah, by the way, game shows are just out of control. What are we doing? Everything is a game show now. It's like – is it Dax and somebody doing a family game
night?
Yeah,
Kristen Bell. They're married.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's doing games now. It's like there used to be regular TV on. In any event, I think this is going to be fun. I think it's going to be cool. I love
it.
The movie.
Yeah,
love
I'm
the
watch
movie.
It. We'll see what happens.
All right. Let's spin the Wheel of Questions next since we're running a little bit late. We got Wheel of Questions coming up next for you. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. Feeling good. Like I should. What's up, people?
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Thursday here. We talked about the Field of Dreams game, which is tonight in Iowa in a cornfield. It'll
baseball.
Be on Fox. Baseball. Time to spin the wheel of questions right now. I've got Jorge with the wheel. Jorge, give it a spin. All right. I think we'll all go back a little bit on this one. What is a good first date? What is a good first date?
Okay, so the easy answer to this is dinner and a movie, because if the dinner doesn't go well and you go to the movie, you don't have
you
to talk and you get a movie out of it. But I would answer it this way. It is, in my opinion, it's something where there's something else going on.
Yeah.
So... You I mean, you don't want you to be the only person providing the stimulus. You know
yes,
what I mean?
Yes, totally. Totally get that. Totally get that. Linz, what about you? First date?
Maybe like go play trivia at like a bar or go bowling or something where like
yeah,
you
like
can
that.
Actually talk to each other, because I feel like a movie is a horrible first date idea because you're not learning anything about the person. You're literally
that's why you gotta go
silence.
To dinner. You gotta go to dinner first.
Yeah, but I feel like a movie is something that you do like with your friends or down the line. I feel like that's a bad date going to a movie. So I'd rather do something like, you know, where you can actually talk to each other.
Jorge, what about you?
So what I would do dinner, and then I would do something with a little adrenaline afterwards, like a K1 speed. That's like indoor kart racing.
Love that.
And nice.
Then, yeah, so I would do that, and then maybe like a movie depending on the time and depending on like, you know, what the mood was. But after the kart racing, whatever, it was on, man. It was good. You would have such a great time. It was just dope, you know?
All right. So I am of the John school, only I reverse things. So for me, we go to the movie first. Then afterwards, based on their reaction, my reaction, we have something to talk about. You kind of know if you click based on how you feel about that particular movie you just went to.
I used to work at a television station in San Diego. And I was out with in the way those days go is you get to work and you get assigned a photographer and you're with that photographer all day. And you go out and do a story, and so you're in the same van, and you're talking to these guys all day. So one day, I'm out with this photographer. His name is Ron. And he starts telling me that he's got a date that night that somebody set him up on, and he doesn't know what to expect. And he's going to dinner, and they're just going to see where it goes from there. And so basically, the reason he's telling me this is whatever we were working on, we had to be done by 6 o'clock because he was meeting her at 6:30. So we get done early, like 5:30, and I go, so you know go get ready for your date. He goes, okay, thanks, man, and he leaves. And at like 7, he comes walking back into the station. The date was at 6:30, and I said, what happened to your date? He goes, no chemistry. I said, how long were you there? 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I said, what do you mean? He goes, sat down, looked at her, she looked at me, we started talking. After a few minutes, I said, this isn't working, is it? She goes, I don't think so. He goes, all right, let's call it. And he got up and walked out.
See, I've said
that must mean to her feel terrible.
Well, no, I've seen this. I did this before, you know, when I was going through Match.com coffee dates. You know, you have the coffee date, which is generally the safe date. Mm-hmm. And I would sit down with somebody, and I would say, look, let's have a nice cup of coffee, but this here is not happening. This is not, there's nothing happening here, but let's have a nice cup of coffee together. And so I've made friends that way, but I did. Oh, I forgot to mention, I got another text from the guy.
Yeah. Oh no.
And the guy that said the thing at the golf course, he texted, are we really still not friends?
Okay. One word response.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. It's going out now. Yes, we really are not friends. Boy, if you're a friend of mine and you wind up as a bit on the air, I don't know how you feel. Everybody
should
beware.
But as long as you don't say his name, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, anybody can turn into a bit. All right, so, John, this is something that we were talking about yesterday as we were getting ready for the show. There is a Reddit, Reddit thread that is phrased this way. What is the weirdest thing you find extremely attractive? The weirdest thing you find extremely attractive.
Right.
Can I give some examples before everything?
Yeah, because there are a few things that I find attractive that I doubt anyone else finds attractive.
All right, let's see. This guy says, colorful socks. I don't know, man. When I see a girl wearing some super wacky colorful socks, especially if they're mismatched. Weird.
Wow, that person would like me. I got tons of colorful socks, and they're often mismatched.
Here's a woman. Don't know why, but exhausted men look super hot to me. What does that even mean? He looks good and worn out. It's my type is tired. Here is this is a woman. My boyfriend shaved off his beard and just left his mustache. Holy heck, I was not expecting to dig the sexy Flanders vibe he's got going on. So, yeah, the little Ned Flanders. Here is a guy. He loves impractically long nails, chewing some gum while reading a magazine. It's beautifully apathetic. And this guy, who's kind of falls into my wheelhouse a little bit, being able to make a good Excel spreadsheet. That's what really is attractive, boy, they find.
He would like me.
Yeah, we had an old boss that guy would get along great with.
Yeah, so let's open this up a little, because I think it's interesting, and we'll each give ours. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-ESPN. The weird thing that you find attractive. John?
Okay, well, the one I mentioned in the promo is, I like it when Lisa goes with 80s hair.
Yes.
You know, but here's another one.
I love big hair, by the way. I think big hair is hot.
So this was a thing for a while. It's gone way out of style. For about 5-7 years, it was a thing.
Yep.
But it, for whatever reason, to me, it always worked. I like it when girls wear ties.
Girls wear ties.
That is weird.
I know. Why do I like that? Lisa used to do it for me once a week, and I would go, what happened to that? She goes, oh, it's so out of style, I'd never do it again.
Is it like a tie, or is it like a little bolo tie, or what is it?
No.
Yeah, is it like a...
Like
the
white blouse with
life?
A tie. Like, it was big. It was big in the 80s and maybe bled into the 90s a little.
Isn't that
like
kind of
like... A bow tie? Like,
No. Like a regular...
Just a regular man's tie.
Man's tie with a knot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And that gets you rolling.
I don't
know
why.
Did you get that from like the Shania Twain video, the Man I Feel Like a Woman? Is that where you got that from?
Maybe.
That was peak
Shania.
Yeah.
Lindsay, what about you? Weird thing that you find attractive.
I don't know if it just applies to this one person, but my not boyfriend, as I like to call him, I always find it attractive when he gets off work because he's a boilermaker and he's very dirty. And I don't know why, but something like when he comes over and he's like filthy, dirty, and he's got work boots on and they're all dirty and his face is all dirty. Like, I just feel like that's like, I don't know. I feel like that's it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So kind of dirty. All right. I like that. Jorge, what about you?
Oh, man. I like seeing girls in like soccer, like shorts or soccer sweats. Like just
soccer sweats.
Yeah, exactly. You go, like, I go to In-N-Out and, you know, sometimes girls walk in with their sweats, they're texting, and it's just one of those things where I'm like, man, like, that's just attractive to me. You know, soccer shorts or just soccer sweats.
All right, so for me, it's a weird thing, but I remember when Juan and I first got together, and, you know, I generally live a sloppy life.
You think?
And I opened a drawer, and it was perfectly organized. And it was like, oh, my God, I am so in love. I am so crazy in love. So organization turns me on. And by the way, something also, pencils. So, a guy with a pencil, for some reason, strikes me as hot.
Like a pencil in their ear or just having a pencil?
Just having a pen, as opposed to a pen, a pencil instead of a pen. There's something weird about that is like, I like that. That's attractive. That's attractive right there. So those are my weird ones. Organization and a pencil. A pencil is very strange, I have to admit.
Number two, pencil.
guy with a number two pencil. You don't see pencils anymore. When are pencils going to make a comeback? Remember you had a pencil sharpener? Do kids still use pencils or have they all gone to ballpoint pens?
No, lead pencils. The ones with the,
kids use pencils a lot.
Kids do.
Yeah.
You think they just skip straight to the pen? Why don't they go straight to the pen?
Couldn't tell you, but Jack has tons of pencils.
They have to erase it. And pens, they have erasable pens, like they don't really work that good.
God, all that kid stuff, the erasable pencils and all that. That's funny. 877-710-ESPN. That's the weird stuff. I had a few others that I wanted to read to tee things up.
People are sending me women in ties. It's very funny.
This guy says the standard black old school Vans on girls. So Vans shoes. This is house plants. Chicks with plants are just very hot to me.
Hmm.
When guys are reversing the car and they put one hand on the back of the passenger seat to look back better. Now, who gets off
what
on that?
What in the world?
So, guy turns to look around, puts his hand on the back of the passenger seat to look. That's what this person, this woman, finds attractive. There's weird stuff.
All right, check this out. So, Brenda, last night, she was reading something. And then she took a pen and made a bun with a pen on her hair.
Yep.
And I was like, dude, you look beautiful. She's like, stop. She's all embarrassed. But it's just one of those things, like a pen to make a bun on your hair, that was just crazy. That's just attractive to me, you know?
That's weird. That's weird. Here's, I like scars. Each one has a story, and I want to know it. Here's, if they cook me garlic bread, we will be cuddling.
Really?
Garlic bread is awfully good. Awfully good.
That's all it takes.
Yep, that's all it takes. A little garlic bread for that guy. All right, so we'll take some of your calls. It's interesting. 877-710-ESPN. The thing that's weird that you feel attracts you, that you feel attracted by. And also coming up next, John, the analyst who is completely wrong about the Rams. Completely wrong about the Rams.
Okay.
We'll play that for you coming up next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.